If you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15. Well, I get to mix two of my favorite things together tonight, and that is we're in a series on Wednesday nights. Pastors asked us to do messages on prayer, and so I went ahead and combined prayer with my favorite season of the year, and that is, in my faith, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I thought I'd put together prayer and the resurrection together. I've entitled this tonight, How Does the Resurrection of Jesus Christ Affect Our Prayer Life? What does the resurrection have to do with our prayer life? Tonight I want to show you three things I hope will be a real help and a real blessing to you. You know, wherever I travel, I usually, whenever I get up, I spend the first couple minutes giving greetings from Lancaster Baptist and West Coast Baptist College and greetings from our pastor. But here it's special to be able to have the opportunity to speak. I just want you to know from my family how much we love this church. And, you know, seriously, after pastoring for 25 years, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, how's this all going to go and how is everything going to work? And, you know, am I going to have a difficulty or is there going to be different problems or whatever? And I want you to know how much we've appreciated how you've accepted our family and how much I love my pastor and his wife and his family. And we just love being here. And I love the team here. I love the ministry here. And we are just absolutely thrilled. Tonight, my wife's over at Cactus Kids. She does the sixth grade girls over there, and she absolutely loves that. I said, now, you know, honey, if you're not in here, I can say some things about you, and you're not going to know. So she said, yeah, well, I'm teaching my kids tonight. So we're plugged in every way we can in our church, and we thank God for that as well. Well, so we're combining prayer and the resurrection tonight. How can you lose with that? How does the resurrection of Jesus Christ affect our prayer life? Let's look real quickly as we begin in verse number 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, the other thing I'm really excited about this message tonight, I do. I absolutely love preaching on the resurrection. And I'm giving my three favorite resurrection passages tonight. So forget about the outline. Forget about what I said. Just enjoy the scriptures tonight. We'll get to 1 Corinthians 15 in just a little bit later on, verses 55 through 58, which is one of my favorite. We're going to look at John chapter 20. That is my favorite Easter morning passage. And then we're going to look at Revelation 1:18. It's my favorite resurrection verse, Revelation 1:18. We'll get to that in just a moment. So if you get anything out of tonight, get the Word of God tonight. You'll go away being blessed. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. It says this, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Well, let me just tell you this. We could put the word prayer in there. If Christ be not raised, your prayer is in vain. There isn't anything you're going to do that's more futile than praying to a God who's dead. If he's not alive today, your prayers are absolutely vain. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Do you realize that what we're doing tonight in a prayer meeting is absolutely useless if Christ did not raise from the grave? In verse 20, it says this, but now is... Everyone together, just say with me the next two words, will you? But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Wow. Father, we come tonight and we pray that we will look at our prayer life different tonight. That, Father, when we leave here tonight, we do desire really one thing tonight, encourage these people about their prayers. That because... almost 2,000 years ago, the Son of God came out of that tomb. It does matter what we pray. It does matter the requests that we give. And Father, we're thankful tonight that we have access to you because of a risen Savior. Our whole, everything we believe hinges on the most single, most important fact of all human history, that your Son came out of that tomb and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Father, we're thankful tonight for that. Lord, I pray tonight, maybe some of us are a little stale in our prayer life. May we get excited about coming to a risen Savior tonight in our prayers. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. It makes, number one, our prayers personal. What does the resurrection do for our prayers? Well, number one, it makes our prayers personal. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 20. John chapter number 20. In John chapter 20, we have the story of Mary coming to the tomb. I love all of the accounts, but there's something special about this. I'm not saying it's the most important word in the Bible, but I think it might be the most joyful word in the entire Bible, and in a way, maybe the most precious word in the entire Bible is found in this passage. Let me explain. The Word of God was given for two reasons. The reason why you have a copy tonight of God's Word was God wanted two things done. Number one, the revelation of Himself. The Bible is God's special revelation of who He is. If you want to know who God is, you look to the Bible. Not what you think, not what you feel. You can know that there's a God without the Bible. But you cannot know God without special revelation. So He gave us the Bible for that special revelation of Himself. The second is the redemption of man. So we have the revelation of Himself and the redemption of man. I think you see both of those coming together in this passage of Scripture in John chapter 20. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou?" You know, you ever wonder what the angels must think about us? You ever wonder what the angels must think? Like, what are you doing crying? Do you not realize what he said happened? But anyways, so they ask the question, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. There's no personal relationship yet because she doesn't know it's a risen Savior yet. Jesus saith unto her, notice the words that he uses, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" There is no personal relationship. She's thinking, this is the gardener. The way that he responds, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She's supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Here it comes. I think this is the most precious word in the entire Bible. Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." Personal relationship and redemption. Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." At that moment, everything changed in that woman's life. She loved him before the crucifixion, but now she's able to put everything together. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is personal to Mary. Notice what Jesus saith unto her, "Hey, you." No. Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." By the way, in the Hebrew, that's Miriam, and in the Greek, I looked it up, it's Mary Lee in the Greek. No. You know how my wife got her name? Her mother's name is Mary and her father's name is Leland. She was born on Mother's Day and she was the oldest first child. So they combined her name Mary Lee. And I had no idea in the Greek that Mary there is Mary Lee. But that's my favorite word in the Bible. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni. Folks, let me tell you something that the resurrection does. You see, we have a risen Savior who is alive. And since he's alive, he's personal to us. He's our personal Savior. Because if he's dead, it's not personal, friend. But if he's alive, he is where we are right now. And every time we go to him in prayer, it is personal. If he came out of the tomb, he is alive. So we pray to a living God. Because he is alive, he makes intercession for us. I love this little verse in Hebrews 7. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And let me tell you something about this resurrection. Because Jesus Christ is alive, our prayers are personal, and he makes personal intercession for every one of us. He is praying for us. Look at these next three things I wanted to look at. Call him Abba. Cry unto him for help and communicate often. Call him Abba. This is a risen Savior, and because he rose from the dead, he is personal in our prayers. God doesn't have grandkids. He only has children, and we can come to him and call him Abba, Father. My oldest son has always known that when he was growing up, he could always get to Pastor Shetler. You know, other people maybe not be able to get to him, but he knew that he could just tell my dad it's me out here. And I would always, you know, take time, I'd break or whatever it was, or a call came in, it's your son. I'd always stop no matter what was going on. Well, one day, Ben was going through a real crisis in his life. I mean, something major was really happening in his life. So who did he call first? He called his dad, but he couldn't get a hold of me. He called, he tried to get a hold of my secretary, and she said, you know, he's out right now, and I didn't have cell phones back then, I think he's going to be back. He called about 15 minutes later, is my dad back yet? Is there any way to get a hold of my dad? I need to talk to my dad right away. And boy, my secretary tried to help, I don't know. Ben was going through a crisis that he needed help. And I remember he told me later, he said, that night he came back and he said, Dad, you weren't there for me today. I needed you, and you weren't there. But I found somebody else today. And I'm going like, what? He said, I found my Abba Father today. He said, Dad, at maybe the lowest moment of my life, I wanted my Father, and you weren't there. But he said, Dad, today I had an experience with my Abba Father, my Heavenly Father, that, Dad, I don't think I'll ever be the same because of it. You know, I want to tell you this. A risen Savior means we have a personal relationship and we have personal prayer with him. Call him Abba. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. College students, many of you are away from your dads. Many of you just say, boy, I just wish I could just talk to my dad sometimes. Well, let me just tell you, you have an Abba Father. You know, I came from a very bad situation in my life. It was pretty much an abuse situation. My mom and dad got divorced when I was 14 and never was bitter at my dad. I got to lead my dad to the Lord 25 years after I got saved. But I never looked at my dad as a daddy or an Abba. But you know what? I had my Father, my Heavenly Father. And I developed a personal relationship with him. Call him Abba. Then number two, cry unto him for help. Because he is a risen Savior, he is personal. He is there for you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you because he is personal, because he's alive. I love Psalm 34:6. It's my favorite prayer verse in the Bible. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know that little song, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister. But it's me, O Lord. And that's the kind of Savior we have. Because he rose from the grave, We have a personal relationship with Him. We can go to Him. He's ours. He wants that relationship with us. And He'll never leave us. There'll never be a time that He won't be there for you. I remember years ago, I was with a group of pastors. I know it's going to sound really stupid, but I was with a group of pastors, and we were playing frisbee golf. And we were on a campsite. And there was, I was in a foursome, and we were playing. And one of the guys threw the frisbee out into the weeds, not like in the main area of the camp area, going to think. He threw it out in the weeds, and he's going over there. We're kind of teasing him about his shot and everything. And he goes over there, and we watch him. He stops. I'm thinking he sees a snake, okay? He stops. Guys, come here. You got to see this. I'm thinking, I'm not sure I want to go see that. I don't know. But we walk on over, and in the grass laying, it's still wet. There is a newborn fawn laying in that grass. Mama deer left Bambi. And I got to tell you, that fawn had been born just hours ago. I couldn't even get up. The fawn couldn't get up yet. Didn't have enough strength to get up. And it was just laying there. Right next to the frisbee. The frisbee was over there. And the fawn was right there. And we just like, wow. That fawn had the biggest eyes in the world. Looking up and like, ah! And we're all, there's four preachers looking down at this little Bambi, Bambi's looking up at us and going like, oh no. And I thought to myself, Mom Deer did not want to leave. You know that Mama Deer did not want to leave, but Mama Deer left. But can I tell you one who will never leave you? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you have a personal Savior. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Then I think of this, communicate often. Because He's personal, go to Him often. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Wow. Go to Him often. Cry unto Him personally when you're in trouble. This, because He rose from the grave, it makes our prayers personal. Number two, because of the resurrection, it makes our prayers powerful. It makes our prayers powerful. Now, I know it's written right there, but you just have to take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 1. I just love this verse. Revelation chapter 1. In verse 18. And I'm glad that they're written in those books, but there's something about taking your Bibles and turning them. Amen? I just think we're out there, we've got it written right here. But yeah, you know what? There's something about turning to it. Look at these two verses. Matter of fact, I'm going to read verse 17 for you that aren't going to turn, all right? Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, it says this. John says this. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now listen to this. I am he that liveth and was dead. He died, friends. He died for you and for me. He was God, but he died on that cross. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive. Forevermore. Amen. But here, I love this. And have the keys of hell and death. This is a powerful Savior that rose from the grave, friend. This Savior now has the keys of hell and death. The greatest and strongest of all enemies, death, could not be held by the power of this Savior. This Savior is powerful, and the resurrection shows us the power we have in prayer. In other words, friend, if He conquered death, He can handle your prayer request. If He came out of the tomb, He can handle whatever you're going on in life. Now, I left two ministries, and the very last thing that I did in both ministries that I left, I handed in the keys. That was the very last thing I did in both places that I ministered. One place I was there for 31 years, the other for 6. But the very last thing I did in both of those places, I handed my keys in. Now, the keys represented what I could get into. The keys represented the power and the authority that I had in that ministry because of the places I could go. In both those places, this is a cool thing about being a pastor, you get the big master keys. You get to go everywhere, you know. You can go, oh, you can't go in there, but the pastor can go in there, you know. And I had the keys to the place. That means there wasn't anything I couldn't go into. There's coming a day, friend, you're going to hear a trumpet. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to unlock the key to death. And we're coming out. God has this power. Now let me tell you. The Savior that came out of the tomb that has that power is the one you're praying to for your requests right now. The one that can handle your financial need, your health need, your family need, your relationship needs. The one that the biggest need that you have right now, compare it to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at this, what it says. If he came out of the tomb, he can handle your request. Nothing is impossible for the one who has conquered death. Brother Furso, will you help me for a minute? Come on up here, Brother Furso. Now, I got to tell you, Brother Furso, I'm a little concerned. I want you to do something for me. I've got a little weight here for you. I got a little 40-pound weight here for you. It's pretty good, though, man. It's pretty heavy. I thought Brother Rule was going to be here tonight. I know. So I'm hoping you don't mess up my illustration. I knew I couldn't ask Brother Tim, so.
Let me call him.
So here's what I want you to do, Brother Furso. I want you to take this 40-pound weight, and I want you to lift it up in the air. I want you to just straight on up, okay? Did you do that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's find out. Let's see what these people think, okay? I'm hoping you can. How many people believe that Brother Furso can put this 40-pound weight over their head? How many? How many people? Oh, wow. I think he may need a little bit more than that. How many people believe Brother Furso can do this? Amen. That's like the angels in heaven waiting for Jesus to come out of the tomb, man. Okay? Okay, here you go. You ready? All right. You want to do left hand or you want to do right hand? Are you left-handed?
I'm left-handed.
You're what?
Left-handed.
Then this is the one you want to do it with. Okay, you ready? Okay. How many people believe Brother Furso can do this? Go ahead, Brother Furso. Go, man.
Go.
Yeah! You're the man! All right. Hey, you can... Oh, whoa. You can't go yet. I got another one. And it's your favorite color, too.
Yes.
Now, Brother Furso, I've got this weight, and that's how many pounds?
Two.
The other one was 40. Brother Furso, do you think you can put this over your... You're doing it with your right hand, even? You can even do it with your right hand? You think you can do that? How many people believe Brother Furso can get this over his head? Oh, yeah. Here we go now. Hold on. You okay? All right, you got it?
Got it.
Okay, go, man. Whoa. Hey, let's give him a hand. Didn't he do great? All right, now I'm going to tell you something. There's some things in your life right now that you say, man, I just don't know if the Lord can do this. Well, can I share this with you? If he conquered the tomb, let me tell you this, he can take care of your requests. And friend, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives me incredible power in my prayer. There isn't anything in my life that I'm going to ever pray for that's going to be heavier than what Christ did on the cross for me and that what he conquered over death as well. I think the resurrection gives me my power in my prayer. And by the way, tonight, this is not necessarily a salvation message, but may I stop and talk to anyone that may be here tonight that may not know Christ as their Savior. Whatever weight you came in on, whatever sin is in your life, whatever thing that you have done in your past that you go, Brother Shetler, I have thought things, said things, and done things that are just on the weight of my sin is upon me. Can I tell you? The risen Savior, that he came out of the tomb was the proof that he died for your sin and that he paid the penalty for your sin. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof that you can be forgiven of your sins. And so if you're here tonight and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you, trust Him. There has never been anything you have ever done that wasn't conquered at the cross and proven by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, you don't know, you don't have that personal relationship with Him, I want you to know He can take your sin. But if you're here tonight and you do know the Lord, my friend, let me share this with you. There is no request you will ever ask our Lord to do that He does not have the power to answer that request, no matter what has happened. It makes our prayers powerful. And number three, it makes our prayers purposeful. It makes our prayers purposeful. And I'll tell you the other passage I just absolutely love is the 1 Corinthians 15 passage. Hey, you know what? Let's just all say it together. Starting at verse 55, 1 Corinthians 15, this passage of Scripture. Do you realize that when the early church met one another, they would say, Maranatha to one another, lo, He's coming. Or they would greet one another. The one would say, He is risen. And then the other would respond, He is risen indeed. By the way, let's practice that. He is risen. That was terrible, okay? Let's try that again. He is risen!
He is risen.
And you know what? Let's try that for the next couple weeks. You see someone, He's risen! He is risen indeed, all right? Let's try that one more time. He is risen!
He is risen.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. Would you quote it with me all the way to the end there, verse 58? Everyone together. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes our prayers personal. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes our prayers powerful. And number three, the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes our prayers purposeful. There is a reason. There is a purpose. By the way, notice what it says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what? There's times where prayer is work. There is times that prayer is labor. But know this, my friend, that the requests that you're praying are not vain. There's a purpose. There's a resolve. There's a determination. There is a steadfastness. There is a purposeful because he rose from the grave. Keep praying for that lost worker, co-worker. Keep praying for that neighbor. Keep knocking on heaven's door for those relatives. Keep praying for that habit to be victorious over that habit. I'm telling you something. There is a purpose in what we're doing when we're praying. It isn't just, oh, you know what? We just pray. Does it really matter? Yes, it matters because He rose from the grave. Now, let me share this with you. The other day I was driving down to LAX to the airport. And I get on my Bluetooth and I usually make a lot of phone calls on the way down. And I'm talking to somebody and I'm in the midst of a story. And I'm giving this guy, it's a preacher friend of mine in the East, and I was telling him a story about my Uganda trip. And I'm in the midst of this story talking about Uganda. And I must go for 2 minutes. And then, Greg? Oh, man. Then finally, he calls me. I got back in an area, he calls, he said, hey. He said, Brother Jim, he said, man, you were in the middle. He said, that was the best part of the story. I said, I must have talked for 2 minutes. What a waste of time. Nobody was on the other end. Can I tell you this? When you pray, there's a purpose because there's somebody on the other end. And I'll tell you who's on the other end. The one who's on the other end is the one who came out of the tomb. Your prayers have a purpose to it. We come together on Wednesday nights, and there is a reason, there is a purpose in what we're doing in prayer. Don't you ever think one time in your life, you know what? Well, you know, is there really a purpose in prayer? Yes, there is. because he rose from the grave. Yeah, but is there any power? Yes, there is. I guarantee you, friend, you're not going to ask anything of the Lord tonight that he can't handle. That there is power. And then know this. Because of the resurrection, Mary, there is a personal relationship with you. Your prayers can be asked boldly because of the resurrection. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Your prayers can be believed confidently. Man, you can believe him. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Why? Because he's alive. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Here's what I want to ask you to do. We're going to go into our prayer time now, and we're going to go through request. Know that every name that's on that prayer list, there is a God that can handle those needs that are on that request. Every missionary, and boy, there's missionaries right now we need to be praying for that are in danger of their lives. Know that there's a powerful God. Last week, Brother Sis gave this great outline on how to pray for missions. No, yeah, but you know, does it really? Yes, it does. Go to that missionary in your personal requests, or to the Lord for that missionary. Believe that God can handle those needs of that missionary. And man, there's a purpose. There is a reason in our prayer. My goal today, when I thought about this, I said, you know, Lord, what's my purpose of my message? And I said, you know, Lord, more than anything else, I want these folks to know that when we take time and pray, we are praying to a risen Savior who's our personal, powerful Savior. And you know what? It's just what Brother Graham played. Because he lives, wow, I can face tomorrow. Amen.